This episode of Small State Big Takes is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Get in on the NBA playoff actions with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Download the app now and sign up with code SSBT. That's code SSBT only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4077 on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Opt-in required. One bonus bet issued based on the amount of initial losing NBA bet. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms with code SSBT.
Welcome back to Small State of Big Takes. This is episode 246, I think. Opening take for Stephen O. Scott. What do you got?
Yo, yo, yo. What the fuck's good? Happy to be back. Just swallowed my last bite of chicken sausage. How do you guys feel about chicken sausage on your fucking pasta with a little bit of fucking marinara? That's my question for you guys.
I like it. I like it better than turkey sausage. Mm-hmm. I think chicken sausage.
Chicken sausage is all right.
Yeah.
Another question for you guys. You ever been to Costco?
Oh, yeah.
Do they have them near you, Gilly?
There is one actually near me, but I have not been to the one over here. I don't have my membership myself. My parents are members. They love Costco. They have BJ's and Costco memberships. Explain that.
Both? Dude, Sam's Club too? Just make it a trifecta?
I wouldn't be surprised. My mom used to. I don't think she does anymore. But
my dad used to have a Sam's Club, but then Sam's Club died, right? Is it over?
It might
Sam's
be.
Sam's Club done?
That one in Warwick is the one I think of.
It's done here. I know that.
Is it?
Yeah, that's a Market Basket now.
Okay. I definitely have seen one somewhat recently. It was right next to a Walmart too, which is weird.
Yep.
I know they're like tied together, but
is Market Basket same kind of deal? You have to fucking be a member or whatever? Or is it like Stop and Shop?
Market Basket?
Yeah.
No, it's fucking just
old school.
Just go fucking crazy. Yeah. And I keep being told to go there and get everything there, but I'm too much of a lazy wimp to go over there.
Where do you go?
Mostly Dave's.
Oh.
Is that expensive as shit?
Yep.
Nice. No big deal on this House Enterprise contract, baby. Max
yeah,
profit.
Exactly. I can afford to.
I miss Dave's. Dave's is the best.
You don't have Dave's out there, Gilly?
No, it's just Rhode Island and Southern Mass, right?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I thought that was like a worldwide thing, Dave's. What about Whole Foods?
Oh, yeah. We got our Whole Foods here. We got a couple that are like a 15-minute walk from me.
Dude, Whole Foods is your boy.
Yeah.
Dude.
Trader Joe's. Shout out Trader Joe's. I love Trader Joe's. I'm not over it.
Yeah, I go there sometimes.
I went to Trader Joe's on Saturday. It was a zoo. And
yeah,
people
don't
make eye contact. Yo, big take. People don't make eye contact anymore. People are strange. You walk in, everyone's looking down, and they almost hit you with a cart. It's like, hey, what's up, man? And they don't even look at you. It's like, what the fuck? Just say hi. It's okay.
Trader Joe's is definitely a very niche consumer base.
Yeah.
Is it like crazy busy? The ones you guys go to?
Yeah, the one in Warwick is always slammed. Always
like the
slammed.
City. People are like, just, yeah, and no one talks.
That's the one you go to, right? The one in that crammed little plaza with the Panera Bread, right?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that Trader Joe's is just always fucking bumping. Never not. It's small too, so it's crowded. It's always crowded in there. It's like a maze, but they've got some good shit. Not gonna lie, Trader Joe's has the best salsa around. If you ever need salsa,
No, you're right. You're right.
The Trader Joe's salsa is fucking incredible.
Too. Had some of their bruschetta last night.
Ooh, bruschetta, yeah.
And a little bit of bread there. Got a homemade bruschetta. Not homemade.
Their prepared foods kind of sketch me out a little bit for whatever reason, but like all their frozen microwave stuff, like all their meals that way, like the frozen ones, pretty good, not gonna lie. I've become a little hip. I'm hip to Trader Joe's.
What?
I know what you mean. Fucking, how about the
I really struggle there, but
you sound like me.
I got there.
That sounded like me trying to talk.
So many thoughts going in at once, and I didn't know what was coming out of my mouth. Happens.
I still don't know what you said.
I'm hip to Trader Joe's now.
Oh.
You were asleep, and then you woke up to
okay. That makes
the realization.
I thought you were saying that
right.
Joe's is too woke or something.
No.
So I was like, that's where I thought it was going. Again,
I thought you were making a political stand there.
No.
Dude, they have a 1 pound chocolate bar there, by the way, at Trader Joe's. Got one of those?
Their little chocolate cups are incredible. Yeah, they got some good shit.
Hey,
little frozen dumplings too. I'm a sucker for those things.
Dude, the frozen the pork ones are my favorite.
Yeah, they're so good too. The little soup dumps.
You guys ever collide with anybody in a grocery cart?
Accidentally? Or on purpose?
No, either or.
No, I don't think so.
Never?
Come close, probably, but nothing. I feel like that would stick with me.
Dude, I hit someone one time. I needed airbags. Straight up freaking
fucking collision rocks.
Dude, it was like
to Trader Joe's around the corner.
The fucking bumper car situation, dude.
Grocery store linebacker, Steve.
Lowered my shoulder. lowered my center of gravity.
It's not allowed back at Shaw's.
Yeah, back at Shaw's. That's why Shaw's closed down. Westerly. And fucking clean up on aisle three that never got cleaned.
What is that Shaw's now, isn't it?
Aldi.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I did know that.
Weird vibe at Aldi.
I am so not an Aldi's guy. It's crazy.
I don't know who is one.
I think that place sucks.
My mom likes Aldi. She'll just like get the most, and they're again, they're like random brands too. It's like, I don't know. They're fine. Like the chips are fine, but I think it's a lot of European brands. I don't want that. Give me Lay's. Don't give me, I don't know, Eastern European version of Lay's.
I'd agree. And you have to wonder, like, I have a theory that people that shop at Aldi, like, regularly, I don't know, they're not real people. Like, most, like, these people NPC. Yeah, they're NPCs. So they're, like, that's an NPC store. Like, you walk in there, there's no music. People are kind of, like, another one that's, like, kind of like a, it's like this, what's that, the back rooms. You know what I'm talking about? On YouTube?
Yeah, the end of the day, what you're saying is like their head needs to be studied.
Yes.
You need to study those brains.
Just let me go to Aldi's real quick and find my produce. Like, where's that like, coming from?
What wire got crossed that made you have to want to go there out of all the other grocery stores? I'm not sure, but let's take a dive in and find out.
Well, there's not a whole lot though now. Now with Shaw's gone, right? Where else, especially at least like South County?
Yeah, you got Stop and Shop. You can go corporate. Dude,
Sandy's.
Walmart. Dude, shout out to Sandy's, but that's expensive as shit.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Hey,
I bought a bag of tortilla chips at Sandy's. It cost me $10, Oliver. Not even joking, Mike.
I know you're not joking. I know.
Go back and be like, I don't want this bag of chips anymore.
Check the receipt. I spent how much on a bag of Funyuns?
I was so mad. It was a big bag, but still, $10 on a bag of chips.
You can't do your grocery shopping there, but like, come on, no. The sandwiches
and prepared foods.
You go there for lunch.
Yeah.
Yo, I went there 2 days ago. I used to work there. I love that place, right? Where I was waiting for my sandwich. I was looking at the pies. Guess how much a pie costs now? Mind you, when I worked there, the pies cost $9.99. Easy, just bang it out on the register. Bim, bim, bim.
$12.99.
More. Apple pie.
15?
More.
Really?
How big 18, are these pies?
$18.99.
Just pie like size, standard size?
Just how you envision a pie to look in one of those boxes, you know?
$20 pie. Tell you what, like...
It's fucked up.
Slice of cake at Greg's is like $10.
For a slice?
You know what? I bought two desserts from actually probably an equivalent of Sandy's, I would say. It's a place called the Bruno Brothers in like Philly. I bought two desserts, $10 each for these like little like single serving, like, and again, they're good. And it's like one was like a chocolate mousse bomb thing, and then the other one was like a tiramisu little cake. They're like individual little cakes, but $10 each, and they're good, but man,
shit. $10.
Yeah.
It's tough out here.
It is.
Sad time.
A milkshake.
And I also, I'm a big Belmont guy. If you're ever in like the Narragansett area, Wakefield area, Belmont, fuck.
Do you eat sushi?
Yeah, dude, the Belmont sushi is legit like top notch stuff.
I used to get that for lunch sometimes.
Oh, it's so good. If I still lived over in that area, dude, Belmont sushi for lunch would be like three time a week thing. Dave Sushi just doesn't do it for me.
I almost
you ever get fucking
Belmont one time in Wakefield.
What happened?
Legitimately, it was COVID time, sort of. I was masked up. I had the worst tickle in my throat in history, but I was too afraid to cough like loudly, so I kept trying to stifle it. And I was at the register, and I think I had a coupon for something, which is why I went. And I was like, gave it to them, and they had to like get their manager, and they asked me like a question or something, and I was just couldn't breathe, just like,
oh no,
like no. Mask on too?
I had to like wheeze my way out of there, and I went outside and just like coughed until I could breathe again. It was cough.
Man, that time was so like weird to think about how if you just had cough. A simple cough like that, like all you need to do is just cough or clear your throat.
Yeah.
Everybody in the universe would look at you and be like, that person is terrible for being out right now.
Nope, and I just made it 10 times worse by stifling it, and then I just could not breathe, literally. I don't think, I've never felt that way before, too. I was like, just like, oh.
That was a tough time.
I don't think I've been back since.
They've got they've got a poster of you.
Yeah, self-imposed ban.
Yeah, exactly. This person, not allowed in.
Yeah. I do miss Belmont, though. Belmont's good. But just consistent too. And they have the brands. It's not like Trader Joe's sometimes. Like, all right, you got their all. Some of the stuff is a little wonky. Even like Whole Foods is fine, but they've got their fancy brands that I'm not familiar with a bunch of stuff, but give me a bag of Lay's, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Dave's is like that too, but like I'm not generally not buying my chips and stuff from there because it is definitely upcharged a little bit. But we have some breaking news regarding us. According to friend of the program, big time friend of the program, at EdHand89, Small State Takes has been selected to be in one of the final eight entries of the play-in round for the second annual Red Sox 200 Personalities Tournament.
Whoa! How that's about huge. That?
So you're about to see Small State Big Takes absolutely step up their game, and especially now that nothing else is on and nothing else is relevant sports wise, you're about to see Small State Big Takes really ramp up the Red Sox content on the Twitter machine.
That is sick. That is a great annual thing that he does. Wow, that's wild. Honored to be in it. I want to know who we got.
I know it'll be. We'll see what the matchup is, but you know, we're in the play-in tournament, so we got to really earn our way. We're going to have to work hard to
earn that 16
show season. Out. Yeah. Right. We want to be that or go on that Oral Roberts type run.
Oh yeah. I'm down. That's awesome. Shout out Ed Hand. He's the man.
Ed Good Hand.
Sox takes, even though the Red Sox are mid right now, the mid Sox, as I the think mid Sox.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's, you know, he was one of the Twitter personalities that I never really had a read on until we had him on and talked, and I was like, this guy's the fucking man. And he was awesome on here. You know, he's definitely going to be coming back more, and just very level-headed, very respectable baseball takes. He's not over-dramatic. He's not too reactionary like Ed Hand. Absolute beast. Big Ed Hand fan. We're a big Ed Hand podcast.
Seriously. He's also just like so damn honest too. There's a, I think I saw a tweet of his the other day where, might've been yesterday or the day before, where he was kind of asking, which it is a good question, where it's like, have we always as like a fan base and even just like baseball fans in general been so like, oh, the GM, blame him for this, blame him for that, which again, maybe we're too young for certain stages of it, but I think that's a good question. But then he ranked the GMs of his lifetime. He put Theo last. Because that's probably because of the Nomar trade, which I just respect, because that's just like, I feel like most people would just be like, oh, well, you got to put Theo like way up high there. He doesn't give a shit. He's just like, Theo made me sad when I was younger. So he's last. I love that.
And honestly, yeah, honestly, like you can find a way to twist that to make sense too. If you're like, well, all the guys that won the World Series, like he didn't even have and he didn't even draft and blah, blah, blah. But what's funny about baseball is, the current GM's impact doesn't stop when they leave. And you see that time and time again. You see pieces of Dan Duquette on like the 07 World Series team. You see pieces of Theo Epstein on the 2018 Red Sox team. Like the roots are dug in when it comes to baseball GMs, which is why I think it's so hard to give credit in the present.
Even Charrington's a prime example.
That's what I mean. Like Charrington...
Got a great job.
Got absolutely fucking demolished for what he did, and it turns out he hands over the reins. Boom, World Series instantly because of all the rebuilding he did. And if we have to see this thing where, you know, if Chaim Bloom eventually leaves in the next couple of years, and then we see all these guys come up and succeed: Marcelo Meyer, Tristan Casas, Blooms, Brian Bello, who. I actually think Brian Bayo's a Dombrowski guy, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
But like Garrett Whitlock and all the Trevor Story, all these other guys that are going to have Bloom ties and they succeed. It's just going to be funny to see. And we've seen that time and time again. So it is interesting that he would rank Theo last on his list of Red Sox GMs because he really like transcended the sport in a way for like he ended the Cubs and Red Sox, not single-handedly, but like the two longest droughts in MLB history, Theo Epstein ended, and Ed Hand just like, dude made me cry because of Nomar, so fuck him.
Yeah. He was on a, He was on a pod somewhat recently and I listened to him. I was like, damn, I just like respect the hell out of it. And you know what? I'll say I'm probably the opposite spectrum of that from like Ed was probably, I don't know. He might be a couple years older than us. But I feel like I was at the age where it was like, whoa, like I was super sad that Nomar got traded. But after it worked out, I was like, oh, this dude's a genius. And it was right. Just like that. I think I fell into that category of just like, holy shit. Like, and he's probably my number one kind of for that reason, because it's, but you're right though. They all just bleed into each other. Just like presidents and economies. Everyone just like wants to assume the economy is one president's fault. And that's just like, well, right. I don't know.
Depends. It goes way deeper than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never give a shit about the Nomar trade. I gotta be honest with you. I remember what? That trade happened.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yep. Let's look back. I remember looking back on that trade. I remember when the trade happened and they had a graphic of Nomar behind John Buchegross and he was saying Nomar has been traded, and he was wearing a Red Sox jersey and then it faded to a Cubs one. I remember this vividly. 2004. I go, and I was like, I don't feel anything. I don't give a fuck. Don't care.
Hell.
Don't care. Do you know
that's,
why?
That's look, one of the more like just
yeah
insane an obscene takes that we've heard.
This is. I wish Josh was here for this. This is an obscene take. I know. I remember thinking to myself though, when I remember there was a Red Sox Yankee game, it was in New York, and Nomar was sitting down when the rest of the entire team was standing up and like cheering. I was like, I don't think Nomar wants to be a Red Sox, and then he was gone like within, I don't know, a couple weeks.
That
and
is
this
true.
Trade happened. And it was,
I feel like
I remember thinking like Nomar does not want to be here. This is weird.
Yeah. No, I
even like I know Manny quit on the team too back in the day. Like I remember like, you know, Manny was a quitter and all that shit. He's my favorite player, but whatever. But like Nomar, I remember thinking like, what happened? Like, why?
why does he not like being a Red Sox? What the fuck? At like age 11, you know what I mean? And then suddenly Orlando Cabrera shows up, badass. Doug Minkiewicz, you know, coming in as a defensive replacement. Those were the good days.
Speaking of Doug Minkiewicz, you know how he like kept the baseball?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Not great, right? I feel like it was kind of a scumbag move.
Yeah,
it was bitch made.
It's kind of, I can't remember. Recently, I heard something that he said defending it, and I was like, you know what, that, like, I like hearing both sides about it. I wish I could remember exactly what he said that made me was like, okay, like, I see where you're coming from. They were being douchebags. I think it's because, who the fuck was the owner at the time? Lucchino?
Yeah.
I think he said Larry Lucchino was like really, really being an asshole or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I was like, you know what? Good for you for holding on to that. Like, whatever. I understood it. Let's put it that way. For a long time, I did not understand why he would hold ransom. Like, that was very egotistical of him to do and selfish. But after hearing his defense, I was like, you know what? Okay. Like, I'm not mad anymore.
You know what? I'd hear him out. I'd allow him on the pod.
Right.
Give him his chance.
You know, let's add to the list of former Red Sox infielders on the pod.
It's true.
People forget.
Yeah, I don't hate Doug Minkiewicz all the way, but at the time that was kind of bitchy. It was kind of weird. So just give it up, man.
Yeah.
But I remember reading a little bit of the Terry Francona memoir because I bought it when I first got my infamous iPad right here. I was like, you know what? I need to buy a book to read sometime on my iPad. So I got the Terry Francona book, and I read about probably like four chapters. And Francona was bitching that even on the World Series, like the parade day, they've like forced him to wear this stupid sweatshirt that he didn't want to wear. They were just busting his balls all the time, like little micromanaging bullshit. It's all Larry Lucchino and his little twerpy little posse. I don't know. I can't stand this in ownership group. I was thinking today, because I don't know if you alluded to the draft you want to do, Oliver, but I was thinking today about how even like the Mookie trade, we've moved on. I know, at least I think I speak for you guys. I'm speaking for myself. Like, we moved on, I guess. We still watch the Red Sox, still love them and stuff. But like, that shit was still unforgivable. To this day, I do not forgive the Red Sox ownership. That was the most pathetic cheapskate move ever. And we just let it fucking happen. Like, what can we do? Here comes Joshy. Let's go.
And I still think the most annoying part about that trade is like that people use that as ammunition to blame Chaim Bloom. That part makes no sense.
No, it wasn't his call.
How small is your baseball brain to like just only blame strictly Chaim Bloom on not getting a fantastic Mookie Betts package return? Which, by the way, another thing people forget, and I will defend him to my grave, but they got rid of David Price's contract in that deal that I think just finished last year. So they would have been paying all that money to David Price, like $36 million, what ended up being a really bad Dave Dombrowski signing. Like, you got Alex Verdugo back, you got Connor Wong, who's been good, like, and promising. You have him for a lot more years, and Jeter Downs ended up bailing. But two out of those three prospects are on your major league team right now. Alex Verdugo's likely going to be an all-star this year. Like, yeah, the return ends up not being nearly as lopsided as we originally thought. But at the end of the day, like, you traded your best player since like Carly Stremsky. Like, goddamn, that sucks.
Yeah. And I mean, we do one thing that I feel like is kind of forgotten in the shuffle sometimes on those like Twitter threads that are just like, oh, just, I don't know, about the Mookie stuff. We forget that like COVID really screwed up his contract situation. He could have gotten $500 million or at least pushed it a little bit. But like, I don't know, we didn't know what money was in terms of just like in 2020,
right,
when he signed that extension, where it was like, I don't know, the league could have gone, like, if you told me the league was going to go under and just like the world was collapsing, I probably would have believed it. It's like, well, that was risky to. So I feel like everyone is afraid to spend any money, and even just like from ownership perspective.
And that's another thing is like, people will find for some reason, and we'll start the draft up here in a sec, because this kind of leads into it, but like, for whatever reason, people find every which way to blame everybody besides ownership. They're like, Mookie Betts didn't want to be here. Like, he's literally come out and said, like, he thought he was going to be in Boston forever. So, several times he said that at this point.
That hurts to see, too.
Like, that is the part that hurts the most to me. Is like, ownership was just so weird and cheap about it, and that part hurt a lot. But Josh has arrived. He has made it here.
What's up?
We've been ranting and rambling on for a while. Just a quick, Josh, being a Florida man these days.
Yes, sir.
Rank Publix in your grocery store list, tier list.
You want to hear the honest truth?
Of course, nothing yes. but.
It hurts, but it's probably number one.
That's all I hear from people that had
yeah
that reside there is that Publix is top.
Nothing. Yeah, you know, being outside of Rhode Island, I actually utilize Target a lot more too, because Target has like just a lot of other things that it doesn't have in Rhode Island. It's like a superstore here, so. And it's a little closer and a little different spot, but Publix is definitely like the go-to for groceries. Yeah. And I like it better than Stop and Shop, hands down, and Shaw's. I used to be a big Shaw's guy, but nope.
All right. Yeah. We had, for some reason we were rambling on about grocery stores for a while, and
first like 30 minutes was just grocery talk, Josh. Like,
so you missed a lot.
Sweet.
yeah, I don't really remember how we got there, but we did, and I guess there's some passion behind it in this.
What did you guys say? Like, just quick.
Honestly, don't really remember.
Oh.
I don't know how it got started. You're right. To answer your question, Steve, I kind of do like shopping. Depends. If it's on my terms, if I'm like in the mood and like down to do it, cool. Yeah. But it's the worst when it's like, I gotta go and you don't want to do it. Then it's like the worst thing in the world. And I'll find any excuse to like just eat random shit instead of going shopping.
I like food shopping, but like, if you're telling me like, let's just go to the mall. Like, I just want to get in and out of a mall. Like, I'm not a shopper. But food shopping, dude, I'll browse every aisle and pick stuff up that I don't need.
I love getting candy. I love the fucking candy aisle. Walking through candy guy. Fucking pops.
I love the freezer. Freezer aisle is definitely my favorite.
I think mine's cereals and like, I don't know, like the spices. I love the spice aisle.
Freezer aisle has everything. It's got like the nostalgic junk food pizza rolls. It's got the frozen pizzas that I'm just a dirty little slut for. It's got ice cream. It's got everything, man.
Dude, Josh is right though. The spice aisle, dude, just the smell of being like standing in that area. You got like random smells right condensed in that like 10-foot radius. You know what I mean? Right next to the breads. Ooh. And you walk by like the wheat bread. Ooh. English muffins.
Just think of all the things you could make with certain spices and you're like, wow, what is that? Like, what could I do with that? You know what I mean? Or like, I see different brands like all the time now. I don't know if there's more brands down here because there's a lot of like Mexican brands and like Latin brands that aren't back home. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different stuff you see like that. But it's like, wow, what could I do with all these? And then you got a spice cabinet or a spice drawer, and then you never make food because you want it delivered. So that's just life.
What's your favorite spice? Ice spice?
honestly, paprika, I think.
I had a feeling you were going to say that, Josh.
I think paprika is the most useless and overrated spice.
Get out. Fuck out of here.
The only thing
paprika that's a draft.
Does, the only thing that's paprika does is turn things red. That shit's
kind of exciting, though.
Oh, my goodness. Makes you believe. Paprika, cayenne, and I like curry and cumin. Like, ooh. I like kind of that sort of stuff, but yeah.
Give me some cinnamon on anything.
Really?
Anything? That, you're bold anything. Saying that. Do it.
Pretty much, yo.
You ever done some cinnamon? Oh, yeah.
You have?
Yes. Yes.
Dude, cinnamon
John
sugar?
DiCataldo's dad gave me $50 to do it.
That's awesome.
A challenge? Yeah, me too, bro. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait, he gave each of you $50 to do it?
Not me. I just did it on my own. I didn't even record it. I just did it. It was like the early days of like doing shit like that too. You guys do the ice bucket challenge?
I did not.
I did not.
I did.
I don't know if I did.
I fucking jumped in the water like January.
Yeah, that's freezing.
In the ocean.
You might have tagged me in it actually, Steve. Maybe I don't think
I did. I did. Yeah, I did.
Oh
I
my did. God. Still owe you. Wow.
Remember that shit?
That's right. I challenge. I nominate.
That was in college. That was like senior year of college.
Yeah, that's wild.
That is wild.
Wow.
All right, let's get into the draft. So, inspired by the recent trade last week by your Boston Celtics, we're gonna do Boston trades that hurt us the most. We hated the most, not the worst. Okay, because is the Marcus Smart trade bad? Not necessarily, but man, does it suck emotionally. So these are ones that kind of like pull at the heartstrings and like, oh, that guy we don't get to watch anymore. That fucking sucks. Does that make sense?
No.
Totally. No.
Does it actually not totally make not. Sense?
I mean, I'm just not a boss. I like the Red Sox.
I mean, this is basically the Red Sox for me as well, because I don't
care. Any trades that hurt you. Any trades that made you hurt your soul.
Yeah.
No, because I can relate. I can relate.
There actually any Falcons trades that you're like, oh my God, this was the worst thing ever?
No, probably not.
Well, there we go.
Matt Ryan's departure was Josh's fucking
bane. No, that was awesome. That was the best feeling in the world.
Josh is going to pop a bottle of champagne on the 1 year anniversary.
That's right.
Bring it back. The NFL. Did he retire?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I felt like he was going to vanish after, though.
Yeah.
Like to a cabin in Montana type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Total
Brett
Favre.
It's not like Philip Rivers where he's like, I'm going into coaching the day of and let me know if you ever need me again. All right, we're going to get to the draft, but we're going to do a real quick intermission, possibly last corporate ad read before we get into it. So we will be right back.
All right, so as everyone knows, this podcast, SSBT, is partnered with DraftKings Sportsbook. Baseball fans, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 to score $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can take a shot at bigger payouts with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Open the DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, and place your parlay by combining three or more bets from the same game. Every additional leg gets you an extra boost up to 100%. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up with code SSBT. New customers can bet just $5. Again, $5 to win $150 in bonus bets instantly. Code SSBT only on DraftKings Sportsbook. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline ma.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com, physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. Max bet $50. 10-plus legs required for 100% boost. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/baseball.
And there you have it. We're going to jump right into the draft. A good one last week. If you didn't listen to it, go back listen to it with our boy Topher, aka Angry Turnip on Twitch, an absolute OG, two-time SSBT Streamer of the Year. In case you forgot, good video game drafts. I'm not gonna lie, boys. Like he had some pulls where I was like, never even heard of this game, but he was passionate and he knows his shit. So who am I to doubt him?
That's true. That was fun. We gotta have him. We gotta have him on relatively soon again. I think he'd be down.
Battletoads. That one threw me.
Yep.
That one threw me. Any volunteers or wants that you need to just get something off your chest? You want to go first?
Are we doing three? Oh. We do 3-2-1? Oh, I'm just saying.
Snake?
Is that what? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Right. Right, want to do five? And then we... I think it'd be funny if we're really reaching at the end and just have some...
I think we might be reaching with four. Let's do four first. And then if you have some in
do
your...
Do ten.
If you've got some locked away that you need to just get out, we'll do a fifth round.
Fine.
I don't know if I have that many. That's why.
I know, that's why
I'm
funny.
I'm nervous I might not have enough for four, so I don't want to commit to five. Let's go with flow. Who wants to go first?
Can I lead off?
Yeah. Do
you lead? Billy's like, I'm taking Nomar.
No.
You missed that conversation, the obvious one. Too.
Oh, really?
Marcus Smart to the Grizzlies. It's obvious. The reason I wanted it to be 1-1 is because I actually friend of the pod somewhat. We interact with him on Twitter sometimes. I was going back and forth with this kid, one of my college buddies on Instagram, and we literally were like, what's the point of like the Celtics being good if Marcus Smart isn't on the team anymore? And that's how down bad we are about Marcus Smart. It was the saddest shit ever, where it was, I'd rather lose with Marcus than win without him. That's what we said. And how
that is crazy.
And I'm getting a little bit better about it. But
when you get to that mindset, you're like, wow, like that. And that was kind of the reason for this, that, you know, the inspiration for this draft was like, you think about go back and think about all the fucking trades that we've had to go through in all these sports, whether you're a fan or not, like Mark. And I think one of the reasons why Marcus Smart like hurt a lot for most Celtics fan, I want to say, is because that would be like fucking trading Justin Pedroia, dude. Just the heart and soul, exactly what you want out of someone that plays for Boston, gives it 100% every single time. They leave it all out there. Do they make mistakes? Sure, of course. They have their flaws, but like you live with them. And you summed it up perfectly. You'd rather lose with him than win without him. That is a hilarious statement to make.
That's fucking love, though. And you like, you love these players over time, dude. Like, really, it's like, dude, they mean more to you than the win. It's fucked up. I'm with you about Marcus. Marcus is one. There's certain guys that you run him to the ground. You know, that's your boy.
Like me and my fantasy team this year.
Facts.
Well, there's love and there's stupidity.
There's love and stupidity together.
What makes you stupid, though?
Steve, what do you got?
All right, I'm just going to go for it. The worst trade of my life to this day, I'm still not fully over, is Manny Ramirez getting traded to the Dodgers.
Damn, that's a good one.
I remember that happened in the summer, like the middle of summer there, and fucking I didn't leave my house. I didn't for like 3 or 4 days. My aunt came over. She was asking, are you all right? I'm like, I don't know. I had a pit in my stomach. My aunt bought me a Dodgers jersey of Manny, a shirt I wore to school all the time. That was freshman year of school. I wore that thing all the way through high school. Manny Ramirez, Dodger shit, fucking Dodger hat. I did not wear a Red Sox hat for a year.
What's weird about that one is at the time, I didn't really fully understand it because that was obviously back when they still had the waiver deadline. So like the trade deadline passes and they still had him and we're all hyped like, oh, we still got Manny, let's go. And then he's gone.
That's
like,
weird.
What? I thought the trade deadline passed. Like, what are we? That was one of the weirder rules, I guess, in major league sports was the waiver deadline after the regular trade deadline. I'm so happy they got rid of that.
That's how Verlander got dealt,
if you remember. Yes, I do. That was literally a last minute deal, Verlander to the Astros.
Those were always so unexplained. Like you like suddenly like like the biggest superstar gets dealt too.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Adrian Gonzalez.
What I never understood is like how do these guys even clear waivers? Like, how does nobody pick up like I get that they come with the contract, but like
happily take the guy.
Don't you want them?
Well, that's the thing. You have to take the money, but then you also have to agree to terms. Like, it wasn't just...
So complicated.
Yeah, it was weird, where it was like you kind of wanted it to fall to a team that you thought you could make a deal with, and then you could figure it out.
So weird.
And those players that you traded had to clear waivers too, right? Because like Adrian Gonzalez, someone like that, he was a waiver guy too. Like, so no one claimed him but the Dodgers. But what about everyone else that was included in that trade?
You're right. That's a weird part where it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, you just never get the you don't understand. Like, where did that?
That could be a trade that we were all happy about because it got rid of Cole Crawford.
That was a happy trade.
That was a great trade.
That was a weight lifted.
What if you were mad about Paul Crawford leaving? You never know.
Was there any Boston Red Sox fan that was upset Carl Crawford left?
I loved Carl
Crawford. Hey, we'll find out later in the draft.
When Carl Crawford got signed to the Red Sox, I don't remember ever being that happy, but boy, oh boy, was I happy to see him go.
Robert, I know.
Yeah, Josh?
I have to take the easy one. I mean, I cried for 3 days. My mom talks about it all the time. I remember where I sat. I mean, Nomar's the easy answer. I don't know how it wasn't taken.
Steve, you want to break it to him?
Josh, earlier in this pod, I admitted that the Nomar trade, I felt absolutely nothing. It didn't give a rat's ass.
I just don't think you cared about baseball that much at that age.
No, it was Nomar. It was Nomar. Nomar didn't want to be. That was my big take was that Nomar was done. Nomar had enough of Boston. We loved him as fans, but...
Nope. I can't accept that. Nomar would
stick around?
Yeah.
Sorry, dude. I don't mean it's okay. It's okay. Everybody takes things differently. I understand.
Well, it's very mature.
It was mature, Josh. I was trying to rile some shit there. Sorry.
It's okay.
I didn't mean
to. It was purely personal. Like, I had a Nomar chain that I wore every day. Like, I had the jersey. Like, it was just like, that was it for me. Like, I thought the world was ending. My whole Red Sox fandom was crumbling. I, like, started doing his ticks and things, batting. Like, I loved that guy. So, it's just a big deal for me. But
they don't, I think that, like, those trades happen. Like, we took that shit as, like, actual trauma as our life. Like, when you look back, like, we actually cared that much. You know, it's kind of sad, but
I told my mom I can't watch this turn it off, and I was sobbing on my couch. I remember like it was yesterday. Pretty wild.
Yeah, and you guys left me another easy one, and that's the Mookie trade.
True.
Yeah.
Good picks, I should say.
Yeah.
But you know, we did briefly touch on it, but no matter how you rationalize it in every which way, like you just traded away Mookie Betts. Just traded him away.
That was a pit in your stomach feeling.
Yeah.
I'll never quite forget. You remember like the days leading up to that shit too? It was like, it might happen. He might go to the Padres. Oh no, Padres are backing out. And then it was like, the Dodgers are in. It's like, this can't be fucking happening.
Once you heard the Dodgers are in, you knew it was over too.
Yeah, it was real.
He's going to be a fucking Dodger.
And like the whole time, it was the most helpless feeling. Like you knew it was coming. You're refreshing it. You're feeling the pain. And then it happened.
And you know what the fucking worst part about it all was? That first game, you saw him suit up in a Dodgers uniform. You're like, God damn it. He looks fucking incredible out there.
No good.
Uniform. God damn it, that hurt. It hurt so bad. Like, there's some people you just can't stomach seeing in another uniform, but Mookie Betts wearing the Dodgers, it does help that the Dodgers have an incredible, just like, incredible uniform to begin with. So simple, but so clean. And then Mookie Betts in it, fuck. And now he's playing shortstop and second base, like, living out our fantasies.
He's living out our dream. That's our dream that someone took from us. Like, that's so, it's like, everything that could be insulting about that trade has happened. Like Mookie's like MVP, Dodge win the World Series. Like, and he's playing second base and shortstop. Like, he's playing shortstop. He never played shortstop in his life.
Shortstop, dude.
Shortstop.
Starting. Like, not that's beyond. Not just like, haha, let's put him in there. Like, he's starting shortstop.
That's beyond insulting. This is beyond.
God damn it.
We can't even get it. We're using like Yu Chang and stuff and Christian Arroyo as shortstop. Like,
I would kill to have Yu Chang out there right now. That's the sad part.
This podcast is like almost based off like Josh and I flipping out about Mookie playing second. Like, we were begging on our hands and knees 4 years ago.
This is true.
You know what I mean? Now it's happening every day. We don't even talk about it. It's fucked up.
Every day he's starting at second base or shortstop.
We're living in the Matrix, dude. This is a real simulation. God, you said it, and it became the truth.
Okay, moving on, because we're just going to get riled up if we keep talking about the Mets one, clearly. But this might take you guys as a little bit of a surprise, but this is kind of when I stopped caring about basketball, is when the Celtics traded away Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, after that, I was like, all right, whatever, I'm out. Let's go root on the Thunder for a little while, and then that one blew up, and now I just don't give a shit. So I understand why they did it, obviously. Even at the time, I understood why they did it, but it still fucking sucked for so many reasons.
Mm.
That shit was wild. We all knew the era was coming to an end, though.
Right. Right on the wall. We understood, like, even as however old I was, like, I think I was in high school at the time, right? Like, yeah. You kind of mature a little bit. You understand the business side a bit more than you did it as a middle schooler or whatnot, as a pure, just like, maybe ignorant is bliss type fan base. But it didn't matter. Like, Paul Pierce, really? You're going to see Paul Pierce in Brooklyn, like, to a New York team? I know it was New Jersey at the time, I think, but still, come on. That sucked.
That hurt.
You're right. I think that was Brooklyn.
It might have been like the beginning.
I think it was the first or second year of Brooklyn. They were trying to like pull people hard.
And Ray Allen was never like looked at the same after that because of all like the shit that's gone on since then. And Paul Pierce, say what you want. KG's like still just a Celtic at heart, I think, but it just fucking sucks. It sucked then. I think it still sucks to think about now, especially because, spoiler alert, don't let me know this, but they haven't won a title since they did that trade after all that. After all they got, they still haven't. They've come close, obviously, but they still have not won with those pieces they got in the trade. So that part also kind of fucking sucks.
Just end of an era, too. That was the sad, I think the saddest part for me for that. I was like, damn.
It's done. They're
blowing it up. It's over.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was like the first like blow up, like post championship, too. Like, I remember the Celtics sucking when I was a kid. Like, that's how it felt all the time. The Celtics sucked, but it was like whatever. And then they're the champions all the time, or they're in the championship.
Right.
And then it was blown up. Suddenly it's like, oh no, this is our first blow up. This is our
we fucking suck again.
Yep. Great Depression times.
Yeah. All right. Those are my first two. Josh. Yeah. Josh, you're next here.
Oh, man. I know there's big ones like of people coming in. I was going to use Zdeno Chara, but I think that was free agency, wasn't it?
I think that was free agency as well, yeah. There's a lot of people that you don't like that left, but left in free agency.
Right.
Like Xander.
I mean, what was another big one? I mean, I was kind of like, was Tyler Seguin a trade?
Oh, yeah, Dallas? That was a trade.
That was a big deal because he was like a young star. And
he was
actually
stud.
Yeah, I was watching hockey a lot during that time. And I was going to say, when Zdeno Chara left Boston in general, I know it wasn't a trade, but like I stopped watching like hockey then. Like that was only a couple of years ago, but I took like a good year and a half, 2 years off of hockey
right
for that.
That's also kind of like an end of an era type thing. Like, wow, Big Z is not only, because he didn't retire, he went and played for the Caps and like,
right,
was still damn good,
really good, and then he got traded again. So I mean, I'll just say this, like anything that has to do with the Boston Bruins, where it totally changed the script, right? The Bruins got a little better after the Tyler Seguin trade, I would think, right? It just changed the dynamic. Like, people loved Tyler Seguin. He was just like that guy. So it was tough, especially, you know, because I don't like all the Boston sports, but I think an easy one would be like, you know, we could say a couple of the Patriots guys I'm not going to name because I might see them later. But, I think Seguin was a big one.
That's a good one. One I didn't think of, but a good one nonetheless.
Especially because they trade him so young and he's so good.
So young. Steve?
Yo. All right. Big one of my lifetime. First time I ever cried about sports ever. Woke up one morning, 5:30 a.m. Someone, I forgot who the newscaster goes, H1 Agon.
Oh, that was my pick. Oh, good call.
Antoine Walker. When he got traded to the Hawks, I cried. It was the first time I ever cried. I remember sitting in my room and being and like tears coming out. I'm like, why? I didn't even know I cared this much about sports. First time I ever realized I'm an addict to sports. No matter what. It was a wake up call. Now. It was basketball. It's not even baseball. It was Antoine Walker. Made me cry.
That's a good one. Now that was, you're right. That was like early heartbreak too. And it wasn't even, it wasn't the best player, but it was like, it's Antoine.
Oh. I got a good one coming up too. But you're going to Gilly.
Well, right? Unless Gilly takes, and he's got two picks here. He might snag one.
That's true. I'm trying to mix it up a little bit here. I don't want to do go all, but I gotta take this one next. I'm going Celtics trade. Kendrick Perkins to the Thunder.
That's my next one.
Jeff Green. Oh, wow.
That was my next one. All right, go, good job.
And that was one where it's like, it was kind of like, huh. And you know what? I probably wasn't as upset as most of us were for a lot of these, like in the moment. But like, it was like, oh, that's kind of weird. And then it like, Jeff Green, you kind of tried to talk yourself into it. And I like Jeff Green. He's fine, whatever. But that really, trading Kendrick Perkins, that cost them the other championship. They should have had two. And that was one. KG got banged up. He was hurt. He wasn't the same. And they needed Perk. They didn't have him. And Danny Ainge, that was one. He made a couple mistakes, but that was like probably the biggest one, I think. And that just hurt too. It's like, Perk, we need Perk.
Was Sheed on that team? Was he on that team after that? Or was that who was like the center down the stretch? Like there was nobody, it seemed like. Joel Anthony?
He might have been, because that was like 2010 with Sheed. Yeah, so that would make sense, because I think that was that year that we're talking about, because 2009 they lost to the Magic. Although, was that the year that they did that trade?
Whatever that year that was, you're 100% correct that like we had that championship if we had Perk. Oh, I can never get over that fucking deal. Oh.
Shout out to those Magic teams though; they were fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in that trade too?
Was not in that one, I don't think. Remember Hedo Turkoglu on those?
That's what I mean. Hedo Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis.
Jameer Nelson,
and obviously prime Dwight Howard. That team, like Dwight Howard, say what you want about carrying a team, but that man did basically everything he could with a bunch of just, like those guys are fun players, but don't get, like, come on.
Right.
Like Dwight as a center in that era of basketball, to carry a team like that was insane to watch.
I miss those times. I hope it doesn't happen to like Jokic.
I think people forget how just like Dwight Howard was that guy for
the GOAT for a little bit.
He was like Shaq conversation.
Legit was like all time big man conversation for that run.
I just miss those days so much.
Now he's trying to recruit LeBron to go play.
Yeah, that is so funny.
What the fuck? How does game fucking fall off? Like, how could someone like Shaq stay in the NBA till he was like 40, but like Dwight can't? Dwight's Jack still.
DeMarcus Cousins is another early exit. Like, remember how Celtics were involved with DeMarcus Cousins trade rumors for like 10 years?
10 years?
Yeah. Same with John Collins, and he just got traded for a bag of popcorn.
I know. No one even cared about it.
And Danny Ainge made the trade after all, didn't he?
That is true. You know what? That is funny.
Boy.
All right, Gilly, what's your wraparound pick here?
Wraparound. I'm gonna go with this one. I am going with John Lester to the A's.
It's a good one too.
And it's tough because I feel like I tried to legitimize it so many times in my head. But I feel like that was like the first taste that we had of Red Sox ownership being
fucking up,
cheap,
heartless,
and like, hard.
And again,
I didn't get Johnny
Gomes out of that.
They traded him with
him.
Oh, they traded him with yes.
Yeah, and again, like the ultimate move, like whatever. I guess it was kind of all in all, was it evened out maybe in terms of you flipped Cespedes for Porcello and you got a few good years out of Porcello, but it was just a vibe killer, right? And I thought that they were going to try to sign Lester, so I thought it was like a big brain move initially, and that's talked myself into it.
Yep.
But it didn't happen, and that was just...
At the time, that's what you thought their plan was. So you're like, oh, we'll trade him, we'll get Cespedes, that's cool.
They
like,
led us to believe that. Like they led us to that down that path.
Like, Cespedes was so fucking cool. You're like, okay, we got Jonas Cespedes. Like, that's kind of badass. And like, then in the offseason, we'll go get John Lester. We'll still have Cespedes. Like, oh, I see the vision. Nope. Trade Cespedes for Rick Porcello, who, like you said, he fucking won a Cy Young. So, like, he was still good. Was it a fluky Cy Young? Sure. But, like, John Lester went on and won a World Series with the Chicago Cubs. Like, fuck. That hurt. Yeah. That one. I almost took that one over the Paul Pierce one. But, man, I thought the Lester one might have snuck through the cracks. That one hurt me. That's one of the ones.
Couldn't have too many Celtics ones. So I needed a Red Sox one. That was on the top of my board.
That's one of the ones where I'm like, I remember I was in the caddy tent back when I was caddying. And I was like, fuck, they just traded John Lester. Inevitable. We all saw it coming. It didn't make it hurt any less.
In a weird selling mode too, like, we have not seen the Red Sox do that much like in our lifetimes, and that was just like also just bizarre. Like, wait, what? We're letting the A's make a run with Lester? What the hell?
Yep, exactly.
That was weird. That was a weird time. Weird time. I remember going to a game Cespedes was playing. Loved it. But like feeling like this, it was like August of that summer. Cespedes was so sick. I remember Josh was the first person to get Cespedes jersey.
I was the first world. Person. I was literally in that? The Red Sox store, and then we took my picture. Excited.
Yeah,
they took my picture, and I was put on the Jumbotron.
I said, "See,
I was all in on that trade."
Okay, this guy's good.
I mean, honestly, that trade hurt me because of Lester and everything that Lester meant. But
right.
I was all in on Cespedes at the time. He just didn't pan out. I don't know.
I was in on Cespedes, and I was in on Lester coming back. When Lester didn't come back, it was like, oh, this is weird. Yeah. Now things turn. If they had signed Lester, we're still competing. It was like this thing of like, all right, well, all right, we're still taking this shit seriously, right? And then it was like, oh no,
like Gleyber. With Chapman, like that was masterful by the Yankees to do that and like flip it, get a prospect, and then be like, "We're getting our guy back." Had fun with the rental. Good for you. You won, but
they did it. You know, so we had that chance. Nope, cheap ass fucking. And even Christian Vasquez, like this past year, it's like the same kind of promise. Yeah. You know, that weird promise of like, oh well, maybe Christian loves it here so much they didn't even give him an offer, and they needed a catcher.
They need to catch her right now, for sure.
Need to catch her right now. It's like, dude, this fucking team is just a bunch of weirdos. The way they run it. Fucking pisses me off, man.
You're up. Fired up.
I don't want to say Christian Vasquez because I just said that. I'm just trying to think. By the way, I took an edible during the break, and now it's hitting.
Nice.
Shout out Lance Legere. NG Baby. You know what trade really like fucking pissed me off in the moment? Stop me. I was chilling and then stop me. Randy Moss, middle of the year.
Yep.
To the Vikings. And you know, you knew that he was kind of, you know, people are weird about him, people don't like him, and he was going back to being kind of a punk again. It was like, you can kind of feel the vibe was off. But then out of the fucking clear blue, bang. And his career was ending soon, but it didn't feel like he was a guy that was going to ever fall off. Because
there was unfinished business with that with that team. You're like, it was exactly unfathomable to think that the Brady Welker Moss team is going to finish without winning anything. And you're like, really? Like, fuck.
That is crazy.
It's true. It's true. It was unfinished business. Because even though you knew that Randy's skills were diminishing, you fucking felt in your heart, like, no way, you will not. We cannot lose.
It was kind of like Manny. Like, the writing was on the wall. There was dysfunction. You could read it all, but you're like, it just can't end. Like, this is a fairy tale.
It makes sense.
They have to win.
The time it didn't.
No, yeah, and fuck, that one hurt me too for sure.
Randy Moss, that one, and Richard Seymour. Sorry, I had to double up. But like another shocking one. It was like, damn, dude, he's already washed. No, he's not. Damn.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame.
That was like our first taste of Belichick doing Belichick trades too, at least from my memory for Seymour, where it was like, oh, he's still good though. And it's like, sure, they got a little bit back and they sold high when they, but then he got like, what, two more all pro seasons or something like that for Oakland. So it's like, they got what they wanted, but we sold, I don't know. Weird. Another one. I don't want to jinx it though, because it might fall similar situation for another one to the Raiders also. No, not to the Raiders. No, I lied. He's on the Raiders now, but.
We do another round? We have one more round to go?
Yeah, we have one more round.
Oh, let's go.
But Josh is up for now.
I mean, I'm kind of blanking, but I just thought of a weird one that created a really weird situation with a really good team, and it was the Clay Buchholz trade. So, like, the Clay Buchholz trade, I don't know if it wasn't shock factor for me. It was more like, well, this team is, like, about to win the fucking division. And we're trading Clay Buchholz. He's, like, a fifth starter. Wasn't great, but it was causing so much turmoil in the dugout that we just had to get rid of him.
Why was he causing so much trouble, too? What was the problem with
him? I don't even remember the reason, but it was just a... just a weird time, weird trade, you know, and it was for like absolutely nothing. I don't even remember who it was for.
You know, random like minor league pitcher, I think. I forget who though.
He sucked for a little while.
He was a dude. He was our boy.
He started sucking though. It was like, and like now you're like, oh no, they can't. They're not going to send him down, and he's just so bad. What can we do? We have to trade him. It was like a weird thing because he was our boy forever.
I know. Probably same thing happened affordable. To Jay Groom. Man, I was devastated with that too.
You've seen Jay Groom's stats lately, Josh?
Hell no. But isn't he with the Padres?
They are not good.
He gained a lot of weight too.
I'm talking like ERA double digits.
Oh boy.
Like real bad.
Well, listen, now too.
That was a swing and a miss for me. All right.
Hey, it was a first round pick that like he fell into their laps. He had to take it.
Yeah, I was super excited. Looked like Clayton Kershaw out there at first. But I mean, I still got Gilberto Jimenez. So dude, there's that.
What is the look that Jay Groom is going for? Hold on, check out your
text. I haven't even looked at him.
Check your text right now. What the fuck? He looks like Logan Paul with long hair with a wig on.
Well, I don't have my phone, actually.
Sorry. Yeah, also. But what the fuck? What happened to him? I thought he was going to be good.
I don't know. He got hurt and never recovered.
Like, yeah, he looks like a dweeb.
He was like Todd Glasnow's understudy.
He looks like Neville Longbottom with long hair.
He looks like Heath Embry's illegitimate cousin.
Dude, Heath Embry, great comp, actually. That he does. He needs to grow a little bit more of a beard, and he's there. Literally.
Oh, he looks like if Heath Embry got lost at sea. And... ah, shit. All right, what's the other one, Josh? Is that you have two?
I've got two now. This one kind of people forget about and ignore, but like, I still am hurt that Gronk played football for the Bucks.
Oh, he's on my list.
And I'll stand on that hill.
Good call.
It's just something I always look back on now. And I'm like, I just like, why he came back. Was a shell of himself. He showed flashes, don't get me wrong, but it's never really the same physically. You could tell. I know he wanted to play with Brady more down in Tampa, which fucking like just made it worse that they traded him for a sleeve of cardboard or something. But that one hurt. I never thought, I really thought he was going to be done, or if he came back, he was going to come back in New England.
Who's this now?
Gronk. Just being traded to the Bucks to go play, like giving him his wish of going to play with the Bucks, like a year after they had a deal with him to go to Detroit, and he's like, it's funny to hear him talk about that trade. I don't know if you guys have heard him, but he's been very open about, like, he just was like, I'll retire if you trade me to Detroit. You're not going to get anything back from me. And then a year or two later, however it was, they turn around and handed him off to the Bucks and gave him his wish, and that hurt me. It always will hurt me. Never won't.
That is tough. Should have been. It's so tough with football, though. I feel like that's a sport where it's like you don't see guys. You don't see it in any sport, actually, that much anymore. Everyone bounces around. But I know. I think football's a tough one.
I
think I totally blanked on two big trades, and I'm kind of mad.
Uh-oh.
Well, you've got time. You've got another pick coming.
Oh, do I? Oh, yeah, I didn't know. I thought that was my last pick.
No, we've got one more. And hold on.
Unless you're going to pick it.
I might.
You might.
Is it Anderson Espinoza for Drew Pomeranz?
Yes.
No, yeah, a lot of these guys, I want to say, I look back, I'm like, wow, he wasn't actually traded. He was fucking released.
That's or something. I was going like, to
say, damn.
Yeah, or just not signed. I think like non-signings are just as bad. Like you just don't go after a guy.
Getting ghosted.
You know?
Like Ty Law. Yeah. That was one I was just looking up.
I was thinking about Ty Law as well, but he like that was when we got Bell checked again. We're like, really? We're not a Ty Law walk? That's crazy to me. And
Lawyer Malloy, cut him. That was the one I was going to say.
Yeah.
That was rude. It seemed like it was like out of clear blue. He was on the team. He was doing great.
Yeah.
Mid-season.
Preseason.
Was that what it was?
Yeah. But, fuck. Okay, we kind of got to speed this up. We only got a couple minutes left. But I guess go to young Ollie back when he was a little young lad and go with Joe Thornton, I guess.
That's probably a good one.
That's probably like the biggest one I can think of where I just – that's when I just didn't understand. I'm like, what do you mean – the best player on the team is gone. Like that didn't happen as a little kid. Like this was early 2000s, so it was before Nomar was trading everything. And you're like, boom, gone. It was
Did
weird.
You care about how you were
not really, but like it just I think it just confused me. It like woke me up to not everybody's always gonna be there. And I think that's why it stuck with me.
Mm.
I didn't necessarily and you look back on it and you're like, Joe Thornton's a Hall of Fame player, so kinda sucked to see him do that in a different uniform.
I think that was a big, like you said, a big wake up call. Cause I liked hockey more at that time. Like Sergei Samsonov was literally like my favorite player ever. That dude was awesome. That whole team was fun, but that trade definitely kind of put an end to all that.
You got one locked and loaded.
Yeah. Benintendi. Weirdly.
Good one, Josh.
Yeah, I can't even believe I let it slip past Buchholz. But you know, and there's another one, and I don't want to say it until after, but
yeah, we'll say it after.
That was a touchy one for Let's sure.
Speed through these next two and then we can get to anything left over. Steve.
All right, ready?
Yep.
Bronson Arroyo for Willie Mo Pena. And as much as I love Willie Mo, and I modeled my game after him, love the guy to death, that was so fucking rude. Bronson Arroyo just signed a team-friendly contract, immediately gets traded. That shit was heartless and bullshit. Love Willie Mo. No, nothing against him. Love him, love him, love him. All right, next.
That was cold-blooded.
That was,
and he was a fan favorite, too.
Yeah, he was.
I'm going with Chandler Jones to the Cardinals.
I didn't even think about that one.
Awesome.
Jonathan Cooper. And I think it was a second or third round pick. I talked myself into Jonathan Cooper so hard to be like, this will work out.
Yeah.
We tried, yeah.
So bad.
That However, they did use that pick on Joe Tooney.
True.
So
true.
Not all bad, but Chandler Jones is fucking like all pro.
He's still tearing it up.
Like, yeah.
It was like 10 years ago.
that was one of the Belichick ones where like usually he gets it right to sell the guy high, but that was one that
way too early.
He got a good return, you know, hitting the Joe Tooney pick, but fuck, man, Chandler Jones, like,
they knew he was still good too.
And they struggled with pass rush like that entire time that he was dominating. Like, what do they need? They need a pass rusher. and boom, he's out there. Any other honorable mentions before we wrap up?
Evan Youkilis.
That was bad.
That was disgusting.
That was nasty.
That was bad. I blocked that one out. Yep. That was so bad.
That was nasty. Richard Seymour was a good one that was mentioned. I thought there was one I wanted to say so bad, but Dice K was not traded. I swear Dice K was traded.
Mm.
And I was a big Dice K guy for whatever, because you're like, oh, we get this Japanese guy supposed to be the fucking shit.
What do you go, the Mets after that?
He went to the Cleveland and then the Mets.
The Cleveland. I like how you did that.
The Cleveland.
Rondo trade was another one I had.
Great one.
Rondo.
Oh, Rajon Rondo.
I thought of that when you were talking about Antoine Walker, but I forgot by the time it was my turn. But good Rondo draft, boys. Good reminiscing on this. We'll be back next week. Maybe we'll get three drafts in a row. We'll see.
Let's go. Great episode.
Great pod.
Bye-bye, my